This is May 23rd, and the next meeting will be Saturday, June 19th, 1993, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
And I just would like to answer a question that arose, which might be in some of your minds, that arose when we were in the Detroit area. Someone said very sweetly, but with a lot of power behind it, "Tell me, Bartholomew, with all of this stuff happening, why are you picking this time to leave?" As the question was processed through the systems, it seemed clear that perhaps we need to expand a bit on various topics that stand in radius around that central issue, because you have to understand some vast cycles in order to understand the particular small cycle. We have tried to point out last time that we are of increasing hopefulness that you will begin to look deeply at the ever dynamic cycles that are occurring in your everyday life, and not to focus so much on the vast cycles that you see in the distant future, example death as one of them, old age, and all of the horrendously ugly ideas you may harbor around that very exciting event. Losing your, beautiful figure and so forth, which can also be a very exciting event. Instead of worrying about all those futures, we're trying to pull you closer to the moment and allow you to begin to deeply understand the nature of cycles in the world and how they are useful for you and to what extent they make your life ebullient and wonderful and dynamic. Now, on the surface of things, one always says, I want things to keep steady and calm and predictable. In reality, that is not the way you want it. Because if you did want it that way, you could have created the most boring world that nobody would volunteer to come. You could stand and say, you must come for this experience of Earth, and they'd say, it's too boring. So instead, you have created a very exciting planet with many, many diversifications going on all at the same time. You have input coming from all quarters, which of course leads to a lot of interesting different points of view, which then of course arises many different responses to those points of view, and then you have the world as you see it, which is a lot of people believing in separation and division and so forth. Now, as difficult as that can be on the one hand, it is also tremendously exciting on the other hand. Now, where you get into trouble is not with the idea of small change. What frightens is the idea of big cycles, large cycles. And that is why I think all of these predictions that are coming of the physical earth changes, possibilities, and then you throw nuclear war into that. If that's not interesting enough, you throw in little nuclear war on the side. And all of this accumulation, the reason I think that is terrifying people to such an extent is that, as we discussed last time, there is a reluctance to pay attention to those cycles that are ever-changing in your life day by day, week by week, month by month. You know, you've been very clever. You divide your time up. You see, time is a mental construct. There's nothing real about it. But what you have done is constructed these seeming definite divisions of moments, seconds, and then minutes, and then hours, and then days, and then nights, and then so forth, and then we have weeks and months and so on. Now, that all is an excellent plan, and what we would get you excited about is to begin to use this plan that you've taken such trouble to construct, because when you begin to understand that by looking at the daily, and sometimes if you can really keep your focus, the hourly changes that take place, you begin to understand the nature of cycles. Now, I have been asked to describe what this Bartholomew phenomenon is, and we have described it in various ways, and so now I would like to describe it in yet another way. You could say, on one level, that what happened was that a sliver of a vast, amazing, electromagnetic energy field, chose to break off from source and come to a and move in an earthly direction in order to get closer to the gravitational, I don't mean physical gravitational, the gravitational field of this planet in order to have a more direct communication with any interested entities. Is that vague enough? Now, as in all cycles, when things have come to their fulfillment, when the cycle has come to its own natural ending time, it is essential that whatever that movement is, instead of going down in some kind of an ever-increasing deadening, that it chooses with tremendous excitement and power and gratitude for what has been to move on to what is now becoming. So a way of describing this shift when it comes in early 95 or sometime in the beginning of 95, something like that, a way of describing that is that this sliver of energy is being pulled back to the source, and the reason is very clear, and this is what we need to discuss. This energy would be totally unloving if it would in any way pull away from any of you in a time when you needed it most. On the very lowest definition of friendship, that is not a friend. A friend is someone or something or some power that does everything that it or he or she can do to make the life of the beloveds clearer and stronger, fuller and more filled with light. It is because of those feelings that this energy has for human that the pulling away is necessary. And in order to understand that, we have to go again into what we've discussed before, which is, there are two views of looking at what happens on the physical planet. One is that humankind started out and then is being pushed from a force behind it further and further and further along its pathway into some indeterminate future. That's one point of view. That's where you get linear. That's where you get pitter-patter up the ladder. That's where you get getting better all the time. That's where you get all of those concepts. Now, there is another concept that we have been haranguing you all these years, which is in alignment with the belief structure that this teaching represents, which is this, that it is not an energy field behind you pushing you, but rather an energy field in front of you pulling you. And this is why we have chosen the kinds of symbols as we have all these years, which is we are calling you home. We're pulling you home. Well, we can't call you home if we're behind you pushing you. You see, home has to be an established something usually seen in the linear frame of things in front of you. So there is this very full idea and a belief and a knowing that there is in some future time, if you believe in time, certainly in some future event, that you are moving toward this magnificence, which we call the enlightenment of human awareness, which we call the coming to earth of the totality of the knowing of the light. You can put it in any kind of terms you want. But the idea here, my friends, is that this absolutely magnificent vortex is not located behind you, but rather in front of you. And so you understand then, when you understand that modality of things, why it is necessary to have as much of the power in front of you pulling you. And if I might be really frank, I know you pretty well. I know many of you very well, which means that there has been a blending of the energies of those of you who with incredible patience have sat through all these windy discussions, lo, these many years, and those of you who have entered new, who have come with a laser intensity of desire to know, And so all of those, and many in between, are very, if I could put it this way, have a sense of familiarity. There is a communion. Now, I in no way want to imply that there is any kind of guruship here, but I want to make an analogy with the guru phenomena, which is prevalent on the earth plane. And you know this as well, this is just a reminder. There are two kinds of ways to approach the idea of a guru. And the one is that you are a little monkey and you grab on to mama or papa monkey and you hang on while mama monkey or papa does whatever they do and you hang on for dear life. That's one kind of guruship. There is another kind, which is the kind that you just lay there helpless and mama comes along and picks you up and takes you in its jaw and just hangs on to you until the end. Now, you can do it either way you want. But I would like to suggest that there's a little greater ease in the secondary position, which means there has to be a kind of knowing inside of you, any of you, for whatever path you take, and this is absolutely any path that you take, that there is a power within that path that recognizes, identifies with you, knows you, and is intimate with you. This is why in all the ancient traditions, what has turned out to be misrepresented in people's minds as idol worship. You know, they say, oh, those things are bad because you're worshiping an idol. In truth, what was meant and what was very effective until the belief got polluted is the ability to have a form in front of you, whether it comes from the Hindu forms or the Buddhist forms or the Christian forms or the Muslim forms. No, they don't have forms, excuse me. Whatever it might be. And to have that as a reminder of that part of the vastness that has a particular intimacy with you. That, if I could put it this way, that cares whether you make it home or not. That has a sense of being able to embrace you with knowing we're in this together, and there will be no separation until you are fully and completely filled with the love of God, with the light of awareness, or whatever it is that you call this ending point. So, as you realize this, some of you have become good friends with what you would call the Bartholomew energy. I would certainly hope that there is no idea of guru, simply a friend, a brother choosing to just, as someone said, it's very nice just hanging out with the energy. It's that kind of intensity. And that function has its wonderful benefits now that it is time for this to return, because all of those marvelous connections are now magnificently useful. Because when this energy removes itself from this closer knit situation and places itself in the larger vortex, two things happen. It increases the vortex. Now, a lot of things are going to be happening in the so-called New Age spiritual world. And I think you're going to find a decrease in the number of so-called channelers. And I think you're going to find an increase in the number of people willing to be their own channels for their own understanding. The power of all of those great ones, this is another way of saying that some of the great spiritual power figures are going to be what you would call dying, what I would call getting closer to the source, in the next few years. So while you search for a teacher of in a body here on the earth plane, and if you are not successful, I would like for you to remember this day and realize that some of the most valid teachers are on their way. Pardon me for being so frank, but you've got to get the visual on this. They're going to decide to leave body form in order to reunite on a stronger level with the vast power, because the stronger the magnet, the more successful the transition. Because we have talked about this before, yet again we bring it up. As you observe in your own life, the energy is moving much more rapidly. You do not have a very leisurely approach to the Godhead. Things are heating up. Life is moving. You are having two and three, sometimes four or five so-called incarnations in one lifetime. You are going through endless things that you consider to be losses, which are really only endings of cycles. But because you are used to thinking in vast cycles, like one marriage, one job, one religion, one township, one house. You know, some people live and die in the same house. And they're 80 years old when they die. Now, that is a very strange phenomenon for 1990. You can hardly find the house you were born in, you know, 30 years ago. You go and it's gone, and, palace to the god of banking is there, you know. Something has taken its place. So when you begin to deeply observe all of this, you get the understanding that you have a choice of either getting an intimate feeling for cycles and what they are and what they do for you and how you move within them and how you let go with delight and gratitude one cycle and then anticipate and yearn for and jump into with ecstatic newness the next cycle, or you can stand hanging on to the end of this cycle as it unravels, which is a very frightening feeling. Example, if the cycle has ended and you are hanging on to the end of this marvelous energy field, it can be, as it begins to unwind, all cycles, when they are finished, loosen up and the patterns move. Here we go, very cosmological, let's just finish it. You hang on and the cycles, this could be very boring, but you hang on and the cycles unravel and unravel, and what that happens in the terms of, you all know that the pain that was excruciatingly with you every moment for months and months, all of a sudden one day things seem to loosen up, and for some reason you wake up and you say, I feel better. I don't feel so tight. I don't feel so frightened. I don't feel so lonely. I don't feel so such self-pity. I feel a sense of renewed hope. Well, what's happened is the cycle, which contains all of that past, is begun to open up, and as it begins to unwind, and you know, just as you think of yourself as infinite numbers of DNA strands, you know, with that kind of an idea, the same thing is true of all these energy patterns of cycles. They have strands within strands, and as the ending comes, these patterns just begin to move. They begin to get vaster. What you begin to experience as a human being is a tremendous amount of lessening of the tension and the pressure around whatever that situation is, which means that if your heart is broken, it starts to get healed, which means if you are filled with self-doubt, you begin to feel more confident. So there are always cycles. If you're absolutely full of poverty, money might be coming. And on the other hand, if you're full of money, poverty might be coming. You see, because the idea, you see, the human looks at these things and likes to think of one just magnificent, ever-increasing cycle, meaning I keep all of the good and I let go of all of the bad. Well, when you begin to deeply look at and examine that motif, you realize that it does not contain anything as the basic growth ingredient. And the cycles are there because what is necessary for you is maximum growth for you. And you do not get maximum growth when you have the same, do you understand? When you have the same repeated cycle, ever, ever going, ever going, ever going. Another way of saying it is, because the energy has accelerated so tremendously, because so many different lifetime experiences are being crammed into what you experience as a smaller space, meaning one lifetime, what is being experienced as this happens is a sense of you either decide that you're losing something as it begins to unwind, or you begin to get excited about the potential possibility of the next moment. And you must make a decision. So much of your happiness in the next years depends on this. Things are moving. What you would call chaos, and as they are finding, there's tremendous order in chaos. I think it's an exciting extension of all of this to have this whole chaos theory coming so clearly into awareness now, and it's going to get ever deeper. And it is, of course, the in thing now. Everyone is studying the rhythms of chaos, and that's good. But what I ask you to remember is that there are patterns in the most chaotic, and as science again begins to be your good friend, and as science begins to help you see the pattern within the chaos of the most seemingly arbitrary things, you will begin to trust that there are patterns within your own spirals, within your own motion. And then, instead of hanging on to the ending of a spiral that is now whipping itself back into a vaster space, you simply reach over and pick up the beginning strand of the next. And it is simple as that. What is required is to get a deep understanding that everything that you have learned and loved and experienced in the ending spiral, anything that is deeply of soul value has not been lost. Nothing can be lost when it comes to the growth of soul, when it comes to the growth of consciousness. Nothing. What is lost, if you let it go, is the frustrations and the bitterness and the sense of resentment and the sense of limitation. What can be let go is to allow only the wonder of the motion toward. Now, again, back to the basic theory. Why is it that just that part of these cycles is held? Why not all of it? Well, the reason is that one of the magnificent attributes of this electromagnetic something that is pulling you toward itself, one of its attributes is the motion toward bliss. Again, we say, no one has ever experienced God and saying, how boring. You know, this God thing is not all it was cracked up to be. I really wish I'd stuck with alcohol or disco or working or IBM. Oh, there I go with IBM again. Sorry. It wasn't worth the trouble. So, and why is that? It is because it inherent in this magnificent, you see, you have no choice. You're going home. But the choice remains. You either go with a kind of a release, allowing yourself to let go. You see, often when you look at why you don't want to let go of the past, it's self-pity. It's often self-pity. It's a sense of sticking your thumb in your mouth and sucking on it and saying, I lost something that I had, something that was wonderful. Instead of seeing all of that as loss, we really have to decide to begin to see it with some kind of a deep appreciation for what it was. And as energy fields unravel, the things that are filled with expansion, beauty, magnificence and abundance, wonder, creativity, all of those magnificent words, those are the attributes of, if I could put it this way, of the eternal magnet. Those are the attributes of that which is pulling you toward it. And it is just like any other magnetic field. You put two magnets together, and they don't pull everything in its surrounding area toward it. You see, it selects very carefully certain components, and these components end up to be like it. You see, you don't get the dirt and the tree leaves and what have you. You get the magnetic attraction that was that. It's still very simple. And so it is the same process. If two funny little magnets can be selective, don't you think this incredible magnet of consciousness can be equally selective? It pulls to it what is its. It pulls to it what it comes from its own being. It pulls to it what is eternal. And what we've told you from the beginning, what is eternal is not your little squabbles with yourself. It is not those little feelings of guilt and doubt and wormness. What is eternal in you is the knowing of your absolute magnificent abundance of wonder. And that is what this is all about. So it pulls all of those magnificent parts of these strands to it. Now, what this does to you on a practical level is, again, when one spiral is spiraling out into a breakdown back into a basic energy fields, what this eternal part of it does, it is the part that also joins you in the new spiraling, meaning you, if you will allow yourself, you bring to your new situation, whatever it might be, the wonder, beauty, abundance, and golden harmony of what has come before. Now, what stops this from happening, my friends, and you all know this because many of you in this room have spent excruciating years working on yourselves, trying to understand. And what stops this from happening is that is the tendency of the ego structure to keep going to the past and remembering. And what the past is remembered as is one of two things. Either as a lost paradise, which when you were experiencing it wasn't like that, which you keep forgetting. You know, you go through these terrible relationships and then they break up and you say, oh, I've lost everything. And everybody looks at you and says, well, it wasn't all that much fun while you were doing it. Oh, it was. It was the light of my life. Well, why didn't it show up, you see? You see, it's this idea that, you know, you lose your job. Well, oftentimes you lose your job because you didn't like your job, and you did a lot of maneuvering so that you wouldn't have to do your job, and all of these things happen. And so the ability of the ego structure to look into the past, you know, you can face one of two ways, and then there's always the third choice, which is just facing into the moment. And then there is the third choice, which is facing into the moment. But the ego loves to do these two faces. It's two-faced. It goes to the back and it goes to the forward. It doesn't like that space here, that empty, unpredictable something that's here. So it looks to the past, but when it does, it is very selective. Now, the other thing is it either remembers all the wonders of the past or it remembers all of the pain of the past. In either case, it is that constant looking back, that constant gluing one's ego eyes to the past that creates this lack of being able to feel the resilience of the moment. That kind of looking to the past takes all of the energy and puts it in the wrong direction. It's as if you are standing in the middle of a marvelous magnetic field that has doorways opening to the front and to the back, and the back shows you where you've been, which you certainly ought to know since you've just been there, or it shows the future, which should be much more exciting, but you just keep looking toward the back. Now, as you begin to understand that it is an inner attitude that releases you from these past patterns, then you begin to do what is very difficult for many, and that is to take responsibility for the degree of the happiness that you have in this moment. It is the hardest thing for the human to say, my happiness depends on me. My happiness, I'm talking to adults now. There's a totally different situation with children. That is not what we're discussing. I want to make that clear. As adults, there is a tremendous tendency to either look to the past as the place where you were unable to be free and to be happy, or look to the future as a place where you're sure that you are not going to be free and happy because it looks just like the past, you see? So there's no way to see things in a new way. So the only way out, I know this is repetitious, I do ask your pardon, but it's the only answer. The only way out is to begin to change your basic beliefs about what's happening in your life. And nobody can do that for you. And most of all, religion cannot, because religion is a set of ideas and rules, and what you need is a belief. You need an experiential happening that awakens the cells in your body so that you stand in the moment and say, this feels good. The past was hideous. I have no idea about the future. But this moment, without fussing the past and bringing it in, have you ever been in the presence of somebody who's constantly laboriously bringing the past into the moment, past into the moment? How often do you seek them out as your companions? Because they're constantly bringing in the past. You know, the mother that says, 6 years ago, you put your socks on the floor and you never did put them in the hamper. You know, this kind of thing, you finally get the idea that there is a way. A way, a very magnificent, light-hearted, and I use those words carefully, light-hearted way of choosing to stop the mental monkeys of the mind, The mental monkeys which, when left alone, run amok in the past, throwing things before you, pleasant things, bad things, horrible things, ugly things, and all that this is doing is taking the focus which no longer is in the moment, which leaves you depleted. One of the side effects of being in a very emotional state, when you feel you've lost the love, or you've lost your job, or you've whatever it might be, your health, is you begin to feel a loss of energy. And then all kinds of false ideas come into play as to why this is so. Well, the basic reason is very simple. You cannot keep a dynamic force field alive in this moment if you are ruminating the past or the future in your mind. Now, when I say the future, I do not mean that magnificent, delightful, creative action of planning future events. There is a wondrous excitement about taking all of your powers, all of your mental and emotional intuitive powers, gathering them up and saying, I'm going to have a plan of action. The next 3 months are going to look like this, and I'm going to have it look like this. And that is a dynamic, alive patterning. That is not looking to the future. The kind of future gazing that I'm talking about is the fantasy that just dreams up ideas and events and people and places and circumstances that have no connection in reality with what's happening. The person who sits in the moment and dreams about being on a yacht in the Caribbean when they don't even have a job is a person who is dealing in a fantasy. But if that same person who doesn't have a job and who longs for some kind of Caribbean experience, there are many ways to use the moment to begin to create dynamically the potential for the Caribbean to appear in the future. So there is, it is not to say that the future is something you should never think about. It is tremendously delightful to sit creatively and plan dynamic living events that you and those that you care about and so forth are going to enjoy together, going to come together and become alive around, whatever it might be. That isn't the kind of planning that we're talking about. It is what you know to be, just the spinning of a fantasy that's based on no reality. Now, the energy that begins to deplete itself because of this two-faced looking of the ego, if you simply do all of the, how many times, well, here we are again, you have to learn how to be aware of your breathing, to be aware that you are in a physical body, to be aware that you are thinking, to be aware that there are emotions rising and falling, to be aware that you're hot or you're cold, or your left shoulder hurts, or your head aches, or whatever. You have to become aware of this moment exactly as it fully is. And that is where power begins to build. And that's when you begin to see the cycles. You begin to see that you cycle during the day. Please don't listen to other people's translations of your cycles. With all due respect, I think that that is something that could be more honestly done on one's own. For example, to say that everyone at 2 o'clock in the afternoon needs to lay down and take a nap is absolutely false. Because all of those people at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, some of them have gotten up at 11. Some of them have gotten up at 4. And there's a tremendous amount of difference. So when you decide to know when you are at your maximum, when you are at your minimum, when you know you are most likely to be vulnerable and frightened and weak, when you know all these things, then you begin to be aware of your life. You begin to be aware of your moment. You begin to live your life. Let me say again. You begin to live your life. Because life is not lived in the future or the past. It is lived now by the absolute experience of the now. That means such boring things as your stomach aches, you have on a shirt that's too hot for the lights, and your face is the stuff on it because the camera was supposed to come and didn't, all this kind of thing. It's all this understanding. And as you begin to understand your own physical rhythms, which most of you are really not in touch with, you are in touch as women with the larger sweeps of it, the monthly cycles. And then, of course, you have decided arbitrarily when you're young and then when you're a teenager and then you're, I don't know, those are all arbitrary cycles, which, if you noticed, are moving. What is middle-aged 20 years ago is not middle-aged anymore. And in the next 5 years, it'll be moved even further. You see, all those definitions of categories are no longer applicable. And if you look around, you'll see this to be absolutely true. So as you begin, when you see an 80-year-old woman jumping out of an airplane, you see, with her parachute and smiling, you understand there's something afoot here that wasn't afoot 40 years ago, at least in some measure. So as you begin to watch how these cycles move physically, then you begin to be aware of your mental cycles, your emotional, and then you begin to stop being so worried about future cycles, because you begin to understand one of the basic teachings of earth plane consciousness. You are living in a circular situation. Things come and they go. The thing that tells you that is the simplest tool of all, your breath. Your breath comes and your breath goes. If, as children, you could be trained to understand that just as breath comes and goes, and that in-breath is no better than out-breath, but breathing, the whole process of breathing is what keeps the whole game going, if you could understand that as small children, be trained that, yes, you lost your toy, that's all right, many things to do about that, instead of just go out and replacing it or beating up the kid next door because they took it or whatever. There are other ways to get people to understand the cycles of things. And it is magnificent to understand you are in a universe that is filled with cycles. Another thing. When you die, you will be moving into another cycle. That cycle is a cycle within another cycle. And as you go into these ever vaster cycles, you begin to realize that these cycles are all interconnected in some funny way. In some way that is very difficult to talk about, you are connected with your earth plane body, and at the same time, you are connected with the vast, silent majesty of total awareness outside of all form. There is no separation from that which you call the vastness of the silent God self and the physical body and your breathing, all of these. And then if you like to play these intermediary games, which many of them are really wonderful, then you begin to play with the intermediaries, which is where you come into the realm of the archangels, the realms of the angels, the realms of the great ones, the wise ones, the avatars of consciousness. All of those come in, and they're there, and they're real, and they're vast, magnificent cycles moving within cycles. What we're asking is, instead of being afraid of the cycles, to understand that you are one. And you cannot stop being what you are. And you can scream and yell and say, stop this cycle, and nobody's going to pay attention. Because the cycle is moving in its own magnificent, pulsating patterns. Now, this is the other thing. Let me know when I need to start. The other thing that needs to be said, I won't be speaking to some of you again, and I want to get this in. As you begin to understand that the way to be totally alive in this cycle, which is a human body, with all of the delights of being human, acting, action, all this, but at the same time not wanting to abandon all of the other magnificent cycles which you intuitively, deeply know are present for you, you have to learn how to ride the cycles so that you experience this one fully, but all of the others as well. Because it isn't either or. It isn't either be a human or expansion. It isn't either be aware of human or of other energies. It is a way of learning how to have a sense of the interface and interchange of all of them and still stay in the magnificent wonder of being exactly who you are. And you know exactly what we're going to say. We've only harangued you with this forever, but here again it is. The only way that you can become aware of these cycles in a natural way without taking something other to alter your awareness, to make it happen, you're going to have to develop the skill of being totally listening, that at the same time you are totally acting. There is a very excellent question that was presented, which was the question of when to observe things and when to allow things. The idea that when you see something, do you move into change it, to help it, to mold it, or do you somehow stand back and allow it? The question is excellent, and it fits in here, because when you learn to really listen, you have to understand. I think that human egos allow you to think that other levels of cycles are very stupid, because other levels of cycles know how to translate sound so you hear it as English. They also can speak in Chinese and Japanese and so forth. Have you noticed that, you know, this energy, when it does speak to others in dreams or whatever, speaks in whatever language the person is used to hearing? This is a very smart cycle. And when you begin to realize that all of the attributes that you have, so does it have, where did you get them after all, are deeply embedded in those vaster cycles, then you begin to realize that they have the ability to communicate. And it isn't in some abstract. If I just look at you and just don't say anything, you could probably say, well, would you mind telling me why you're staring at me? Because there's no communication unless there's tremendous opening of heart between two people. So there is a way of communicating. And these energy vortexes have, as I've told you forever, an amazing delight in being able to communicate the most helpful information about the nature of those cycles, about how they're useful for you. These are not closed systems. These are magnificently interrelated PowerPoints that just swirl around you in incredible visual and sound power. They're wondrous. And as you begin to listen, and I mean to really listen, without any expectation of what you're going to hear or how you're going to hear it, you will begin. It will begin to be experienced. So I'm asking that you understand there are some of you that have a little bit of reluctance for this Bartholomew energy to move to wherever it's moving. And I want to say the way to have that be absolutely painless is to begin to listen now. Not to begin to listen for this voice, because this is only one voice, the voice you're used to hearing through Mary Margaret. You will begin to hear in another way. Some of you may hear words, perhaps not, but you will certainly be able to hear. You will be able to hear promptings, intuitions, expansions of knowing, and most of all, an incredibly ever-present sense of comfort. A sense of comfort that whatever is going on, all's well. That kind of transcendental comfort comes when you learn how to, excuse me, shut up and listen. And I mean it in the most intimate moment. When you are acting, you can be listening. When you act now, you usually are listening to your own voice. And you are looking to see if that which you're acting upon is responding favorably to whatever you're doing. So you're caught up in a one level of response. What we are asking for is something much vaster, which is in the midst of your acting, can you be listening? How do you think Mary Margaret does this? How do you think she can act and at the same time be able to do this? It's just a matter of listening. And you don't listen for words, you just listen. And the rest is up to God. The rest is up to these cycles, which know so much more than, excuse me, than they're given credit for. You know, they're not some kind of vague thing. I want to know, when you hit into the heart of one of these great divas, you are not going to say, my, what a small thing you are. I mean, these are amazing vortexes of power. And if you don't choose to see them as divas, you see them as force fields of amazing wisdom and wonder that move through the different parts of the universe and outside of the universe. There's so much going on, my friends. This is such a small, magnificent part of an immense magnificence. And you are all connected. Your piece of equipment, this physical body, was created with the ability to connect to this level and to the highest level simultaneously. Your job is to figure out how to do that. All right. So we begin simply. First step, The three steps. First step, breath. You first begin to be aware of breathing. That is the single most useful way to silence things. And I don't mean half an hour of breathing. I mean just become aware of your breath. Second, begin the process of listening. Just learning to listen. When you get in trouble with each other, it is because either one or both, usually both, is not really listening. You're bouncing off of each other, but nobody's listening. So when you begin to just listen, you begin to get a sense that there's a very big moment here and that there's something else that has not come to the notice of your physical apparatus. There's something other that is going on all the time, majestically and dynamically, and you're missing it. You live your lives in grief because you understand that you're missing some amazingly magnificent energy fields, and you can begin by listening. I told you in the past that this power that resides within you to listen increases as you grow older. It does not decrease. I repeat, this power within that allows you to listen increases as you get older. It does not decrease. As your physical prowess or your whatever structure you have set out begins to deteriorate or become less whatever you want it to be, that part of you, which is what we call the integral naturalness of your being, has increased and increased and increased in power. In fact, all of you listen much better now than you did when you were 2, and when you were 12, and when you were 22, and so forth. It is an ever-increasing ability because the energy begins to build as you move through every moment of your life. So there is not one of you that is less equipped because of whatever excuse the mind might give you. So all I'm asking is that you take step 2 very seriously and just begin to listen. In the midst of acting, in the midst of thinking, in the midst of breathing, moving, driving your car, swimming in the pool, whatever you're doing, screaming at your children, listen. I'm not asking that you change what you do. I'm just asking that you listen and you listen and you listen. As you sit in the silence of your room, just listen. When you're in the busyness of the city, listen. It doesn't matter. The skill and the ability to listen has nothing to do with where you're located, has nothing to do with being in silent places. In fact, oftentimes, people who are in vast silent places listen less well than people who are in the midst of the city, because the people in the midst of the city are often under more stress, and therefore that stress propels them to a greater yearning for the peace that is more easily found in the silence under a tree on a mountain. There are no rules. God does not have favorites. God does not favor city folk over rural, or rural over city, or anybody in between. God does not favor revolutionaries over peacemakers. God does not, there are no favorites. And what you please to understand deeply is that the skill is yours. All in the end, the reason this energy is here is to just encourage you to do this deep, almost cellular listening. We have used such imagery as like the hawk that is in the flow of the air moving across the mesa, just ever alert because it knows its dinner's down there somewhere, and it's just going in this silent wonder, and it's everything about it is alive. That stance, my friends, of, I assure you, that bird is not bored. That bird is alive to the motion of the wind in its feathers, to the power of its vision as it sees, stretches out this magnificent mesa and all of its canyons and all of its majestic mountains, its rivers, its trees. It sees it all. It feels the feather and the lift. It feels the pulsating pump of the heart. It feels the life that's holding it up. And it never says, I wonder what's holding me up. I wonder how come this is working. It just keeps on doing what it does. It is that stance, my friends, that I ask you to take in. It is not a staring, intense, anxious terror-producing position. It is strong yet gentle and soft. It is very, very clear yet magnificently changeable. It hears and sees and feels and thinks. It does it all. And it watches. And it listens. And it lives. Those images, my friends, those images are the ones we ask you to take home with you today. Many of you in this room have become aware of cycles through some tremendous changes that have taken place in your lives. Some of you have induced these changes through drugs. Some of you have induced these changes through choosing to step out of one lifestyle and to move to another. And so if you are moving into a new lifestyle and you're leaving an old one behind, just realize that what you're doing is beginning vaguely without knowing where it's going to. You know, the wonderful thing about a beginning cycle is you haven't any idea where it's going to end you up. All you know is the only thing you can do with the most integrity that you have is to make the very best choice that you have with the equipment that you have and trust that there is an energy field just like that wind that is guiding you. Do you really think that the only thing that takes that bird to where it goes is its wings? There's this other funny thing called the wind. This other thing called the currents that move around the face of this magnificent planet. And I ask you please to understand and deeply sense, if the bird has this available, do you not? Do you think that the bird is somehow more exalted and more beloved by that which loves you all than you? It's just that you have got to learn to feel for those currents. You've got to learn, please, to feel for them in the moment as they rise you up. And as you begin to be afraid, they're still there. As you begin to get confused, they're still there. And just, please, begin to watch. Begin to listen. And you will begin to feel them. Again, I say, there are so many magnificent cycles waiting to be experienced in this seemingly closed system of human consciousness. And it is not closed. It is open. And remember the rules. There's only two rules of consciousness. You know them well. There's but one. And there is no separation in that one. None. And every moment of your lives, my friends, you are listening. So I ask you to take this basic delight. And if you don't have ears, if your hearing has been turned off, then there is seeing. And if your seeing and hearing have been turned off, then there is feeling of what's around you. You are never left bereft, ever. Take it and use it. It is the gift that takes you to the very depths of your being and to the very heights of what's possible. This is an exciting creation. Endless cycles. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, listen with trust. Just listen. And I thank you for listening. Those of you who would like to listen, we will do so for 10 minutes following those of you that want to leave. Thank you.